Mind and Body Reset, Modern Wellness Decoded. Science-backed wellness made simple.
What if I told you there's a master communication network in your body, one that shapes mood, appetite, memory, even pain, and for ages we barely knew it was there?
It sounds unreal, but it tracks with my own mess of trial and error. I'll kept chasing why I felt off. Stress, bad sleep, that dull fog. And every road kept bending back to one elegant system.
The endocannabinoid system. The name can feel loaded, but it's basic biology. I love it for its elegance. A body-wide signaling web built to keep us steady. Homeostasis.
That's why I can't stop poking at it. Let's really take it apart together and see how the pieces fit.
I've been buried in new papers, and the picture finally clicks. It's a literal mind-body bridge, always recalibrating to keep us on an even keel.
And I want the everyday angle. What in real life knocks it sideways, and what actually helps? I've been leaning on what top researchers report, and trying to turn that into steps we can do without turning our lives upside down.
The live question for me is whether understanding and supporting this hidden network can be a real lever for steadier health.
I think so, but start basic for me. What is it in plain parts?
Three pieces: receptors, our own cannabinoids, and enzymes. Think of a lock and key setup happening on cells all over the body.
So, receptors are the locks?
Yep. Tiny proteins on cell surfaces waiting for a message. The big ones we talk about are CB1 and CB2.
Where do those show up?
CB1 is one of the most abundant receptors in the brain, spread through the central nervous system, shaping memory, mood, movement, the classics. CB2 sits mostly outside the brain, especially on immune cells, and also shows up in the gut, spleen, even bone. It's a key player in inflammation and immune control.
So the same network touches thought and immunity. That's the mind-body link in hardware.
Exactly. If those are the locks, the keys are endocannabinoids.
Endo? As in made by us?
Right. Your body synthesizes its own cannabinoids on demand, right where needed. Two heavy hitters, anandamide and 2-AG.
Anandamide rings a bell.
First discovered, named from the Sanskrit ananda, joy, bliss, delight.
So our bodies make a bliss molecule that slots into those receptors. That's kind of beautiful.
And practical. It's linked to that buoyant feeling, runner's high. 2-AG is even more abundant, handling a lot of routine signaling.
Okay, so we mint these keys. They hit a CB1 or CB2 lock, deliver a message. Then what? Do they just hang around?
Here's the precision bit. Enzymes step in to end the message. After an endocannabinoid does its job, specific enzymes break it down fast.
The cleanup crew.
Exactly. For anandamide, FAAH. For 2-AG, MAGL. Made, act, then cleared.
So, putting it together, receptors spread across brain and body. Our cells make anandamide and 2-AG as needed. Enzymes shut the signal off on time. All in service of balance.
A non-stop, fine-tuned conversation, keeping systems aligned.
What are those messages actually regulating that changes health outcomes?
Regulation writ large. Not an on-off switch. More like a master dimmer for neural activity.
A slider instead of a toggle. Tuning the level for, well, everything.
And it works in a surprising way. Most synapses run one way. Presynaptic sender to postsynaptic receiver.
A to B. I'm with you.
This network often runs backward, retrograde signaling.
Wait. Backward as in the receiver sends a note upstream? Do we actually know how that part works?
We do. When the receiving neuron is overloaded, too much pain or stress input, it synthesizes an endocannabinoid on the spot.
Anandamide as the messenger.
It diffuses back, lands on a CB1 receptor on the sender, and basically says, dial it down. It quiets the source.
So if anxiety circuits are blaring, this system reaches back and turns down the gain at the origin?
Exactly. The hand on the volume knob. It also protects against excitotoxicity. Too much firing can literally damage neurons.
Yeah.
There's another piece I don't want to gloss over. Memory updating, especially fear extinction.
As in, learning that something that used to be dangerous isn't anymore?
Right. You have to rewrite that association. This network helps those danger circuits stand down so the new safe pattern can replace the old one.
Hold on. I'm still stuck a beat back. Without a well-tuned system, the brain can't overwrite the alarm.
That's a leading idea in PTSD research. If signaling here is off, the turn it off message doesn't land. The alarm keeps ringing.
That's the line between remembering a bad event and being dragged back into it.
And the same balancing act shows up in the immune world.
Inflammation. Useful when you need a repair crew. A mess when it never leaves.
Exactly. CB2 on immune cells helps launch the response, then crucially, coordinates resolution. Good job. Wrap it up.
Prevents the slow burn from settling in.
Yes. When you see conditions tied to chronic low-grade inflammation, it often hints the hush signal isn't being made or heard.
Given how often we hear about chronic inflammation driving modern illness, that puts this network near the center.
And the gut is a perfect lens.
Our so-called second brain.
Loaded with these receptors, both types. They tune motility, protect the intestinal barrier, and manage local inflammatory chatter.
So on the gut-brain loop, this isn't the highway. It's air traffic control.
Exactly. Modulating flows both ways. Butterflies before a big call are real physiology. The brain sends stress signals, and this system translates them into gut sensation. And ideally, buffers them.
Which is why my stomach knots, and if all goes well, unclenches.
Right. The whole aim is to keep internal states steady despite psychological weather.
I'm picturing it juggling stress, immunity, digestion, and thinking we overload it. What in modern life knocks it off its game?
I keep hedging here, so I'll just say it. Chronic stress, not the sprint from danger spike. The drip of deadlines, pings, and money noise.
Because the hush note gets drowned out. Siren always on.
Exactly. Receivers beg for relief. Inputs don't stop. Cells can't make enough endocannabinoids to keep pace.
Food probably matters too?
A lot. These messengers are built from fats. The omega-6 to omega-3 ratio is pivotal for making healthy endocannabinoids. Our diets lean so hard toward omega-6 that we hand the body awkward raw materials.
So we're undercutting the very system meant to calm inflammation while feeding it pro-inflammatory stuff. Perfect storm.
And this sounds like a footnote. It is not a footnote. That fat balance sets the stage.
Got it.
Add poor sleep and too little movement, and the load climbs. It's a network designed for equilibrium, living in a world tilted off-center.
Okay, that's the bleak take. But also fixable, right? If habits break it, habits can rebuild it.
That's the hope. You're restoring built-in repair, not importing something foreign. Start with nutrition. Nudge the fat balance back toward omega-3s. Movement helps. Exercise bumps anandamide for a bit.
Runner's high. The bliss messenger. Making the rounds.
Exactly. Then stress practices, meditation, breath work, yoga, time outside. They give the network space to recalibrate, turn the volume back down, and reestablish equilibrium.
This flips it for me. From chasing an external fix to tending internal chemistry.
I spent a weekend in the methods section so you don't have to. And the through line is awe. We carry a wise regulator that keeps nudging us toward health. Our job is to make its job easier.
The retrograde bit is going to stick. The literal mechanism for enough. I want to notice that more, day to day.
We've gone from synapses to something that feels almost spiritual. It'll come back.
It does. Thanks for walking me through it. I'm leaving this with a clearer map and a few things to try.